on some, get some. Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
It is a first down.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. When you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
Whoever from Omaha, I can promise you that.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for pirates.
All right, welcome into TSO on Deck. It is baseball season almost as we're getting ready for the 2026 campaign. It is baseball eve, I guess that's what you want to say, but let's bring in my good buddy, and we've been together as far as the show almost 8 years. March 1st will be 8 years. Kyle from LaGrange Barber, how are you?
But romantically longer than that. What's going on there?
Yeah, but that's okay. You out of me. Thank you.
I did myself, apparently. What's going on there?
News to me. Breaking news.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, baseball eve, if you will. Pirates start the college baseball season tomorrow along with everybody else. Opening up with Xavier. So big week in college baseball. You know, I remember back in the day, there was different start dates. There was not a universal start date in college football for years and years. And now we all start the same day, Friday the 13th this year, and we'll see how the series goes with Xavier.
I'm going to JR, who's in Greenville, North Carolina, getting ready for the big baseball extravaganza this weekend. We'll be talking about that. JR, Johnny Stats Robertson, how are you?
Wow. Yeah, less than 20 hours now.
Who's counting?
It's crazy. It took forever to get here. Now it's like, oh, man. And I got to make sure I get everything ready to go. I think I have that, and I can't wait.
Wait a minute.
JR can't wait so much. His audio is messing up.
Yeah, you're not in Haymarket. You're, like, in Greenville. I don't know. Let's go to Alan Vick, my buddy. 30 years in July. He's known me 30 years.
And I've loved every one of them.
Every second of it, right?
Every second of it.
Yeah. Kyle, do you know why Alan is a friend of mine? This is a true story.
Because you guys worked in radio together?
Yes, but those of you who remember Circuit City, Alan and I will testify that they had the best CD collection, and that's how I hit it off with Alan Vick. Of course, we're in radio, but he had like a stack of CDs he bought, and I had a bag from Circuit City. That was one of our first conversations, and because of those wonderful CDs and that CD collection, that's how I became a friend of Alan Vick, or he became a friend of mine.
Awesome. My favorite place to buy CDs back in the day was Camelot Music.
Oh, yeah. Camelot was great. I loved it.
Hey, y'all hear me now?
Yes.
Yep. I don't know what happened. We were talking for 20 minutes before the show, and I apologize for that. I'm not sure what happened. But, yeah, less than 20 hours. I can't believe it's finally here. Took a long time to get here, but Kyle, yeah, we all start on the Friday the 13th, but you know, everyone tries to find a way to get themselves in the spotlight. So they're having a tournament in Puerto Rico. So if you really want to get your fix of college baseball, you can tune in at 9 a.m. and watch Wake Forest and Houston go at it in Puerto Rico. So
there you go.
If you want to get ready for the season, but you know, I'm kind of glad everyone, I'm sure by now, knows that the Sunday game has been moved to Saturday. So we'll have a Saturday doubleheader. But that means now we can watch, you know, other teams in the conference play on Sunday, and we can watch the Daytona 500. We can do a lot of things. So it's not terrible news. I wasn't, you know, disappointed to hear that we got a doubleheader on Saturday.
Yeah, you guys have to put up with me for a doubleheader. Two games, not one, but two games on Saturday.
Yeah, this is like the fourth time this has happened in recent years, so it's not really unusual this time of year.
I can't remember the last time we actually had a decent weather weekend all 3 days.
Ooh, it's been a tough one.
Alan. We need a dome. We need a dome where we can put it over, like a dome you can put over the field and thriller dome or something. We put it over the field, and then once the weather gets good, you can. I know that'll go over really well. I'm joking.
Well, obviously, it is what it is, man. It's college baseball in February. It's just how college baseball is. If you're not in Florida or the deep, deep South or California, you know, you're going to have to deal with this. It's just how it is. And, you know, it's part of the game. So you deal with it. Good thing is both teams have to deal with it. And we got home field advantage. And, you know, you like you said, JR, it's not that big of a deal. It's not ideal. You'd rather play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But it is what it is. This opening weekend, you're gonna see this all over the country.
Yeah, definitely, Kyle.
Yeah, and we could be a situation where we're a team in the North where we're actually having to play on the road for like a month or so. So I like the fact that, you know, like I tell the story in 2019, it was myself, Kyle, Jessica, Alex, and
Bubba.
And we were all there, and I've got a picture. We have all, I think I told that story last week, but we have big coats on, and it felt like, what in the world? But on the third base side. But anyway, very excited, guys. It's finally here. We've been talking about it for a month, and baseball season is here. What are your thoughts going in? I'll start with Alan. What are your thoughts going in to tomorrow's game?
Totally excited. Cannot wait. Like I think I mentioned on this program several times, Xavier is a more than, you know, competent baseball team. It's good competition to start the season. I think we're going to find out, even though it's early, we're going to find out a lot about the makeup and personality of this team very early in the season. And I'm ready.
What about you, Kyle?
Looking forward to it. I mean, you know, every season is a new, I'm about to say, how cliche is this? Every year is a new season. Well, of course. But looking forward to seeing what happens. You know, we got a lot of pitching depth, a lot of depth overall. Feel good about the chances for this team to do big things this year and be in position to host the regional. But it all starts this weekend. And, you know, you want to go into this, but you want to sweep it. But, you know, if we lose this series, you know, it's a long season. But you definitely want to start off on the right foot and at least take two out of three. But it's not really how you're playing in February. It's how you're playing in June.
What about you, Johnny Stats?
Well, okay, I can give you a few stats. Well, first of all, Alan said that Xavier is a team that, you know, should be respected. They're not a, you know, they're not a pushover. And I have to think that in our last 10 opening weekend opponents, they may be the best one. I know they may be. We've played GMU, Ryder, George Washington, Rhode Island, William and Mary, Radford, Longwood, and for the record, that's nine home series. Our last nine home series, 27 games. We are 23-4 on opening weekend. And those four losses, one of them came last year to George Mason in game one. And they just had a big fifth inning is what happened. They had a five-run sixth inning. And from that point on, I mean, we only allowed three earned runs, three hits. I mean, we completely shut them down. But, you know, that one game, you just don't know what can happen at any time. And then the other three losses, unfortunately, all came against Bryant when we got swept by them in 22. And that just proves that, like I said, Bryant is not as good as Xavier is this season. They were not as good as Xavier is this season, and they swept us. And that, you know, I still have a hard time with that series, too, because, you know, we had a one-run loss in 10 innings because we committed multiple errors. And then we had that home run. I think it was J-Dub hit the home run, and then the referee, the umpire, the home plate umpire had called timeout, he said. Yeah. And then we ended up losing by one run. So, you know, the likelihood of us getting swept, everything had to go exactly wrong, and it kind of did. But, I certainly don't suspect that that's going to happen again. But, and like Kyle said, 3-0 would be awesome, and that's what I'm hoping for, because like I said, in our last 9 home series, we've swept the team 7 times. But if we go 2-1, not the end of the world.
That's part of baseball. You know, if you were going to go 56-0, that's not going to happen. Not to make excuses about losing, but baseball is a game of failure. And you're going to have games where you're doing great. And like Johnny said, you have a 5-run sixth inning, and all of a sudden a game that was winnable becomes more difficult. So I'm not worried about that at all. I think with this team, I think you're going to see really good defense, really good pitching. And I would say we'll see how for me, what I'm curious to see for my thoughts going in would be simply how do our bats do in February, you know? They're obviously going to get warmer as the season gets warmer and as, you know, the time goes on. But that's my only thing I'm curious to see. We've got a lot of talent, so I don't think that'll be an issue, but we'll see how that plays out. And I also like the fact that we're a year older. A lot of those young guys are older. Yep. They've done a nice job, as we talked about, ad nauseum in the portal. Cliff didn't basically build a team from the portal. He has guys that are his guys. Then you find the missing pieces. So I'm ready. Let's play ball.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, I just wanted to follow up on what you just said about the bats in February being cold. Well, that was the case last season. We only batted .215 against George Mason for the 3-game series. Our pitching was outstanding. Our pitching was outstanding in the last 3 home series that we had, but our bats, I think part of the reason was it was cold, but like you said, we had a lot of freshmen, and it took them a while to adjust to this game, even though they've had fall ball and scrimmages and all that stuff. It's just a little different when it's everything counts and you're playing for real. But in 2024, no, I'm sorry, 2023 against George Washington, we batted .376 for the series as a team and scored 43 runs in 3 games. In 2024 against Ryder, we batted .350 as a team and averaged 10 runs per game. So the bats don't have to be cold in February. And I'm thinking that they may not quite be as cold as they were last season with the George Mason series and the .215 average.
Yeah, I agree. Let's do you guys. All right. So I'm going to throw this question out to you guys. Last year we won 33 games. Johnny, help me out. I think that's right off the top of my head. 33 games, had the slow start, but I'm going to go 40 games over under. What do you think for this season? I'll start with Alan and put him on the spot.
Over.
Kyle.
I'll go over counting postseason play.
Yeah. We're counting the whole season. How about Johnny Stats Robertson? What do you think? Over under 40 games, we win.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't want to put any pressure on the Pirates, but if we don't go over 40, something went wrong, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, I'm over 40. I'm definitely buying on that.
Yeah, I am too. I was thinking about that today. I said I'll save it for the show tonight, but I'm definitely going over.
Yeah, hey, you shorted us 2 games. We won 35 last year. If you count the 2 wins against Florida that happened down at the Coastal Regional.
Okay. All right, so 35 games. All right.
I count them.
Definitely.
Yep.
So, JR, looking at Xavier, you studied their roster. So we'll start with their Friday night guy. How good is he? Is he your typical Friday night starter you got to worry about, or, you know, is he an average weekend starter?
Okay, so he's first team All Big East. Xavier only has 2 players on the first team All Big East team. He's one of them. He's a right-hander. He's got really good stuff, Kyle, but he has some control issues. So, and you, normally you can tell, you know, right away with him, if you follow his pitch track, like if he zones in early, he's usually okay, but he can get into a situation where he's just not, you know, finding the plate as often as he should. And he walks a lot of people, hits batters. So we don't know which Peach we're going to get. His name is Ryan Peach. Don't know which one we're going to get. Hopefully we get the Ryan Peach that's not quite in the zone. But when he's in the zone, yeah, he's as good as some of the other Friday night starters we're going to see in the American.
What year is he?
I think he's a senior. Is he a junior? He's a junior. Yeah, he is a junior.
Okay, so he may have improved from his sophomore season to his junior season with on control. You see that lots of times with guys get, you know, more maturity. But first team All Big East, you're saying, obviously a quality pitcher.
Yeah. Hopefully the peach we see will be the pits.
I like that, Alan. I like it. Hey, they did lose their best pitcher, Kyle. The guy that – he's not – I'm not going to say he was their best pitcher, but he pitched the most innings, Ben Weber. He went to Virginia Tech. So, I mean, they have pitching depth, but they – besides Ryan Peach, none of it is proven at this level. So
right.
I'm wondering what we're going to see in the two games on Saturday for them.
So they got would they attack the portal, or are they going on guys that were on the roster last year who weren't starters? When you say,
yeah, it's a mix. But like, you know, just like a lot of these schools that I've been looking at that are in our conference, I've been trying to preview them. It's the same situation where they're from, you know, junior colleges or Division III, and you don't know, or even Gardner Webb. I mean, you don't really know what this guy. They have a pitcher from Gardner Webb. Tanner Thomas is not a pitcher; he's an infielder. But he batted .284 at Gardner Webb, and now he's he's a musketeer. And you would think that he would have a decent batting average. And I'm using Gardner Webb because that's at the top of the chain. At some of these schools, I mean, you just don't know if these kids are going to be able to handle Division I pitching or hitters.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I mean, you can get film on anybody. So Division II, Division III, whatever, there's film on these guys. So we've been able to do some scouting. But, you know, you feel like, at least you think, who knows, they may, you know, take a guy from D3 and he may be one of the best pitchers in Division I this year. But you feel like if you can get past their Friday night guy, on paper, you like your chances.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yeah, and that's the curiosity I have as far as the doubleheader. Alan, do you feel their pitching is good enough for the two games on Saturday?
Yeah, you look at the pitching staff. They're the prototypical 6'2", 6'3". You know, the guy tomorrow is 215. The first guy on Saturday is 190. So, like Johnny said earlier, they've got really good stuff, but their tendency to be wild, and that's something that hopefully that we can take advantage of early and often is the wildness.
Yep. Yeah. Stay away from the free 90s for us, maybe, and maybe they will give us free 90s. Walks, steals, all that.
It's interesting about that, JR. It sounds like that our approach this year may be more aggressive at the plate versus taking so many pitches.
I think so. I'm interested to find out, Kyle, but that's what I expect. I guess that's what I hope for, too. I was just going to say, for the fans out there that don't want to hear every name on the roster and their meaningless stats, because at this point, I'm a stats guy, but nobody has any stats that are remarkable, so I'm not going to mention them because they're very average at best. But I will say, if you want to pay attention, that maybe the key to success for us, other than, you know, how Ryan Peach and the pitchers perform, is Connor Mish, their first baseman. He's first team All Big East as well. He played in every game last year. He's the Big East Player of the Year preseason this year. He batted .332 last season. Not a big bat. I think he had 4 home runs and a couple of triples, but he knows how to get on base. He knows how to drive in runs. And then the outfielder, Clay Burdett, he had 13 home runs last year and batted .292. So they do have – those are two huge pieces that are coming along. And their shortstop, Donovan Canterbury, he only played – I think he started less than half their games. But, you know, he had a decent batting average of .286. So, you know, they might have some stability at shortstop. So those are the players I would watch for to – you know, that you want to see if we can keep them in check, maybe, you know, we'll have our better chances.
No doubt. If you have a question or comment for the panel, Or myself, you can put that in for, we're on Facebook. We're everywhere, man. Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. We're on X, Instagram. So appreciate everybody. A lot of people watching and listening tonight, guys. Appreciate it very much. By the way, we're going to get back to baseball. I did want to ask you guys, as far as our friends that are in the jungle, and Johnny, I know you are, what changes can people expect before this weekend? As far as, is there anything different as far as parking or different things? I know they're doing the construction there in the third base side and left field, essentially. So what can you tell us about that you know?
Who, me?
Yeah.
What I would know is that, there's not going to be anybody parking in the jungle lot, the Williams jungle lot. Yeah. That's going to be a holding area for construction equipment and materials. So there won't even be an entrance. I think, I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming there might be an entrance all the way, like the furthest left you can get.
Towards
the practice field. Okay, you're going north on Charles. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the jungle, you might be able to get in there, but I know that you can get in like from the Burt family lot. You can access the jungle absolutely from there, obviously, right. Which is the right field. But at left field, I just don't think there's going to be any access.
No, what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to go in the main gate at the front of the stadium, go into the concourse, then go into the stands, then climb down on the field. Then climb the left field wall, and then jump over, and that's how you'll get to the jungle.
Wow. Let me write all this down. Hold on, guys.
Yeah. How do you get kicked out of a game?
That's what you do, guys. I'm just telling you, if you got jungle tickets, that's how you get to it.
Man,
definitely it's the price of progress, unfortunately. It's going to be a little difficult, for a while, as far as people, cooking and doing different things. I hear they're going to have they're going to have food trucks and spots out there.
Wow.
Monica says, oh, no, how will we visit our cooler between innings?
Monica, that's the biggest question. I'm telling you right now. It's a game changer.
Yeah, most definitely. But, again, like we talked about, it's going to be the Vic observation deck, I think. So,
yes.
Jamie and Alan Vick observation deck.
Which means you can observe from any direction that you would like, free of charge.
Yeah, I think they're going to let me buy a urinal. I think that's the key on that, but that's probably what.
You got beer in the jungle now. So, I mean, do you even need to access your cooler? I mean, just buy beer.
Well, it's more than that, Kyle. It's what it is, really. And No. It's not the fact that you're going out there to get hammered or anything like that. It's nice, well, Josh Thomas on the griddle out there, and you can go out between innings. He's got a TV going, him and Brian and Todd and Jared, and you can see, if you miss something on the field, you can run out there and you could catch it again on the big screen, and you can see what's going on in other games. You could grab a burger. You could talk to, other people. It's just nice. It's nice to.
There's a tent. There was a tent out there where if you got cold, they have heaters in that tent. You could walk in for a few minutes and get warm and walk back out. They had TVs in the tent. My understanding, that's not going to be an option.
Right. Josh says we'll be in the premium lot. What's up, Josh Thomas? Not sure where, but you'll see our tents. The only way into the jungle will be the gate behind the hitting facility. And walk all the way around. So that's going to be right field, as we were talking about.
Or climb the wall from the field.
That's a good little walk.
Yes, it is.
That's a pretty good distance.
Boy, there's going to be some complaining on messaging boards.
They'll be whining. They'll be whining big time. And you better believe it.
But, Alan, are you going to have the condos whenever they build those?
I'm looking at a 3-bedroom, 2-bath.
Okay.
Right,
I'm sure Jamie will agree with that.
If you want to go in with me on that, Dave, I'd appreciate
it.
All right,
that would be great. Maybe Kyle and all of us can go in. We'll have the Sports Objective condo, Airbnb in Verbo. You can stay the weekend for the right price. I don't know where you'd put it, right field. I don't know where you definitely won't put it in left field because of all the great people like Johnny and all our friends that we've met over the years are in left field normally. So, as far as watching the game in the general.
So, guys, any of you guys could take this question. How who on the East Carolina roster are you looking forward to see their progress from the 2025 season to the 2026 season the most?
I can tell you mine. Alan knows where I'm going with this. I think Johnny may also. Alex Boucher, a really good guy. I think I've talked about it a couple times. There's a lot of other guys I like, but I'm just curious to see how he does. He had a lot of errors last year. He has come a long way. Cliff Godwin, we've talked about in media day. Those guys are great. I'm just curious to see the young man. I want the young man to have a really good senior year. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm excited for him. I think he's going to be really bounce back, but just like an underdog kind of story. I think those other guys are going to be fine, but Alex Boucher would be mine. What about you, Alan?
I'm with you, Dave. I think Alex Boucher, I admire the young man for still being on the team, to be honest with you. It would have been really easy for him to go do something else or go somewhere else. And that tells you a lot about that young man and what he's made of mentally. He went through a lot last year, and some of it was self-imposed, yes. But I think he's gonna have really a turnaround season this year. I think you're going to see Alex Boucher be a big contributor when he's called upon to do so.
Cal, do you think he put more pressure on himself with his older brother, Bobby Boucher, you know, the water boy?
Bobby Boucher did come back in the second half and they won the Bourbon Bowl. But, who else, guys? JR, are you looking forward to seeing them make their progress from 25 to 26?
Okay, it was going to be Braxton Trammell. I mean, that was my guy. But, I root for every player. I don't have any favorites. But as far as – I don't know. There's certain players like Austin Irby. You can't ask him to do much more than he did last season. But the way him and Jack Herring finished the year
– Yeah.
I mean, those two – I don't know. And the last eight games of the season, which was essentially, you know, the postseason, those guys were amazing. I don't know if maybe they found something, and you know, I'm interested to see, if they even take it to another level, which would be hard to think of. And Jack Herring, everybody, you know, I've heard this so many times on different podcasts or radio or whatever. Yeah, Jack Herring struggled in right field, but, you know, he got better as the season went on. Well, I mean, the truth be told, he misplayed the third chance he had as a Pirate in right field against North Carolina. I think it was Vandenbroek that hit the ball. And it wasn't a lazy fly ball, I'll tell you that. And Jack misjudged it, and it was an error. And Cliff wasn't happy, and he sat for a while. But when he went back to right field, he never committed another error and made some spectacular plays. So,
yeah,
I mean, that you can just take the Jack Herring as a suspect fielder off the ledger, because I think he's proven, you know, and hitting the ball, he's proven that he's arrived, like he's ready to move on. And Colby, what on earth does he have planned for us? You know, it's exciting to think about. And then players that didn't even play a lot, like Davin Whitaker. I mean, he reminds me a lot of JJC. I mean, they both are, you know, same number, both right fielders. I like that kid, but I mean, it's just that, you know, he's buried on the depth chart, but when he gets his chances, I think he'll respond when he gets his at bats. And, you know, someone that did play a lot and, you know, people don't know if he's going to be able to hold on to his job is Alex Peltier. And I mean, I'm rooting for that. So I'm going to go with Alex Peltier as my player to see what he does from last year to this year, because I think he's got it in him to be a major, major contributor.
No doubt. What about you, Kyle? Do you have anybody in mind?
Honestly, no. I'm just honest to see how the team has progressed as a whole from 25 to 26. Just the way we finished the season, you know, with the conference tournament and then going into the regionals, we were a completely different team. And just looking forward to see how we carry that momentum, how we've grown from it, the pieces we've added in the portal, guys have matured. So just looking to see as a whole how this team is, you know, advanced from last year. And then you look at the new hitting coach and, you know, a lot of optimism, and there should be around this team. I mean, this is, you know, last year I would say it was a disappointing season, but the way it ended, I don't guess it really was. We kind of ended where we wanted to end in the postseason, making a run in a regional. But this year everything is there for us to be back in hosting position. And once you're in hosting position, your odds of making Omaha increase substantially. So,
no doubt. I've said super regional team, and I hope that we have a little bit extra. And finally, Alan Vick, are we going to do a road trip? Johnny, are you going to drive all the way out to Omaha?
When we reach Omaha, yep. I you can count on me being there no matter what it's going to take. And it might take, you know, some creative logistics on my part, but I will find a way. Absolutely.
Hey, you can just fly. You can just buy a ticket and fly.
Hey, Alan, will Jamie let you out of your house to go?
Jamie will let me go. She will encourage me to go and stay gone for, you know, a couple extra days probably. But yeah, that man, what a trip that would be. We'll make some arrangements somehow, some way. If that happens, we'll have to figure out a way to do the radio thing, you know, some way else or whatever, but we got to make that happen.
Bill Meadows told us a few years ago that on our show that when we make it to Omaha, he knows a,
do you think he's going to remember this day?
Yes, I do. No, we'll have him back on the show. Obviously, we'll have O back on the show, yeah. and we'll make it work. But I tell you what, that'll be – there's – you know
– Well, don't they, guys? You guys probably know this better than me. I'm a college baseball fan, but not to the level of you guys, particularly JR. But with the College World Series, they do a whole, like, they friggin' bring in, like, a state fair type thing. They have rides and concerts and everything that go along with the baseball, with the World Series itself in Omaha during that time, don't they?
Oh yeah. It's a whole family atmosphere, you know, the whole nine yards. Yeah, I've had a couple friends that have gone out there for different teams, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Josh, I know that Josh is going to be out there and definitely has, we got to, by the way, we need to, he told us a few shows ago that we need to make sure that we have a Airbnb, make sure you have a hotel room, go ahead and do them now and then cancel them close to the time if we don't make it. But do that.
Yeah, that's probably smart advice. Yeah.
Because if not, when we go, I agree with you guys. When we go, it's going to be extremely hard to get a ticket. I might camp out in the Johnny. Can I camp out? We can count out in your truck or something. I mean, we might have to camp or.
Well, what's the nearest? Like, I don't not know my Nebraska geography that well. I don't know that anybody else does either. Although I could totally see either Alan or JR just spitting out cities. So, but like, so what's near Omaha? Like, within 30 miles from Omaha? So if you can't stay in the city, is there? You know, I know Nebraska's rather rural, but you would think with Omaha being such a large city, there would be stuff around. So, you know, what is Kinston to Greenville, Wilson to Greenville, Williamson to Greenville, Rocky Mountain to Greenville? Is there stuff like that around Omaha if you can't stay in the city for the World Series, but you want to go and you wait to buy your tickets to find out if the Pirates are in?
Geography is my thing, especially U.S. geography, but Nebraska is my kryptonite. I just have never had a real reason to what's even in Nebraska other than Omaha. I'm not even Lincoln. Sure.
Yeah, Lincoln, Columbus, Sioux City.
No, that was a
Sioux City's in Iowa. Okay, yeah, you just
yeah,
said
but
that.
It's okay. Not, but it's not far. It's not far from Nebraska at all.
Okay, yeah. Omaha, Lincoln. Can I name another city in Nebraska?
Fremont, Nebraska, maybe?
Yeah, there you go.
It sounds right.
Yeah, well, if it sounds right, then just let's go with it.
I'm going to sit here and try to think of other Nebraska cities.
There's a Columbus. There's
never heard of Columbus. Yeah.
Council Bluff, I believe.
Council Bluff, Arkansas.
As a Council Bluff, Iowa, which is right on the border, yeah.
Hey, I would rather go the tent route than go to Council Bluffs, Iowa. I mean, for me, a part of the thing, and you know, who knows how many Jello shots I might have. So, you know, I probably shouldn't be trying to drive to Iowa.
Yeah, if you wake up in Council Bluff, Iowa, we'll know what
Jello shot.
It's less than 100 miles.
Yeah, there's a Jello shot competition between the schools. What's the name of that bar?
It's a pizza joint. I don't know. It's a pizza place.
And this is, so they try to see who can drink the most Jello shots?
Yeah, they have a tote board. They've been doing it for years. And then every time you order a shot, a round of Jello shooters, they tally it up and add it to the team total, which is on the board. All eight teams are on. And LSU wins it every year. Every year that they're there.
I'm glad the grown men have an excuse to drink Jello shots.
Here you go.
Maybe when I was younger. Maybe. But.
Blair, Nebraska.
Is that a suburb of Omaha, Monica?
See, I really wish Stevie was on right now.
I know. I was hoping, Kyle, that would go unnoticed by you.
It did not. It did not go
unnoticed. I didn't think it would.
But I'll hold off on the joke. Stevie,
okay. Appreciate it. All right. Do we want to talk a little bit more about Xavier, just briefly, what kind of opponent they might be in addition to the players they have? They finished the year number 42 RPI. So, you know, that's
respectable,
That's a very good accomplishment. However, the Big East is not very good in baseball recently. There's several conferences below the American, and their problem is they have good teams at the top with UConn, Creighton, Xavier, St. John's used to be good. They're getting a little bit better, but the bottom is terrible. They have like Georgetown, Butler, Villanova, Seton Hall. So that really brings down the whole conference. So essentially, they're a one bid conference. I think they did get two teams, I think as recently as maybe 23, but that's about it. I mean, they're normally a one bid league.
Hell, so's the American.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think that could change. I think with schools like, you know, obviously us, but schools like Tulane and Rice, Wichita State, you know, with their traditions, I think that could easily change for the American, but it hasn't as of yet.
Well, Xavier certainly playing a challenging schedule this year. Didn't I read somewhere that I think 10 teams on their schedule, made postseason last year?
Yeah, they sure did, Alan. And 17 of their first 18 games are on the road. I mean, but last season was even worse. They played their first 22 games away from home because they had some neutral site games. They played in a tournament out west. But anyhow, they didn't play a home game until the 23rd game of the season.
Can you imagine going through that? Can you just imagine being on the road for that length of time?
It's crazy. And for the record, they've been in Florida. They've been down at the what's the name of that high school the academy, IMG. They've been down at IMG. Practicing because there's 0% chance they could get anything done in Cincinnati. So they've been down there. So they're coming here from there.
How long have they been in Florida?
I think they were there for 5 days.
Okay. All right. So nothing crazy.
No.
So I think they
practiced 3 of those 5 days, Kyle, from what I'm pretty sure, from what I can decipher.
Okay. So from, you know, you mentioned them being in Florida. So I actually had a question for you said that, JR. So you talk about their schedule, so many games on the road last year, so many games on the road this year. Last year, more importantly than this year because it's their first series, but last year, did they play anybody in the South? Did they go to an Ole Miss, a Mississippi State, a LSU, somewhere with a really good baseball atmosphere?
They go to Arkansas. They go to Arkansas this year.
No, I meant last year. Last year.
I mean, they went to Stanford. That's not the South. They played at Knoxville. They went to and then Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. They went back to back.
LSU. Okay, so LSU. Okay, yeah, all right.
There you go. That's the trifecta.
I was trying to. I don't know how really good the atmosphere is at Tennessee for baseball, but
national
LSU
champs.
Yes, I still don't know how good the atmosphere is, but LSU, yes. and Vandy, you'll get whistled at. So yeah. They've seen, you know, they got a bunch of new players, but they've seen hostile. I was trying to see, you know, if this would be something new for them coming into this environment with the jungle. And, you know, nothing, you know, we arguably have the best environment in college baseball, but they've been to LSU. They've seen it.
Yeah. One final schedule quirk. They're the first – they're the opponent for three teams opening home weekend. How did that – I botched that completely. Okay, so they're playing
at ECU. They play three teams this weekend. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're playing at ECU to open up our – this is our first home weekend, obviously. And then they're playing at Arkansas. That will be Arkansas's first home weekend. And then they're going to Oregon State, and that will be Oregon State's first home game. So, I mean, they're like the opening day opponent, home opponent for three teams and three good teams. So, yeah, they're really
– Yeah,
I got to think if they win two out of those nine, they're doing something, and three would be, like, spectacular, in my opinion.
Boy, yeah. You know, you look at that thing, and – they may be looking at the schedule with East Carolina, Arkansas, and Oregon State and thinking this is their easiest of the three. I mean, which is insane. That's brutal. That is a murderer's row to open your season. I mean, you got to travel to East Carolina, a team that is, you know, year in, year out, a regional team, super regional team, perennial top 25 team. Arkansas, a team that's been to Omaha many times. Oregon State, a team that's won it all a couple times. I mean, they'll be battle tested by week four.
No doubt. By the way, John White, former pitcher for the Pirates, says Xavier RPI was very high because of their out of conference.
I mean, obviously playing the schools they played last year and they're doing it again this year. I mean, their philosophy is clearly play the best to get ready to win the conference and try to be ready for postseason play. So they're very aggressive scheduling wise. So, man, their head coach won't shy away from anybody. That's impressive.
That's got to be in the top five toughest schedules in the country.
Gotta be. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Got to be.
So Billy O'Connor, this is his ninth season. He's 214 and 198. He did go to the Nashville regional in 23, and I think they won two games. They beat Vanderbilt one game, I remember, and then they were eliminated. So that's the only time he's been able to take them to the NCAAs. But
they did make the NIT one year, though.
Yeah, but he is he's a great. I got that, Kyle. He is you got to like him. I mean, I heard Bubba interview him, and he was a very likable guy, and he's very confident, and
he showed a lot of respect for the Pirates. He was very respectful of East Carolina.
As well he should be. And going for guys, lots of just to mention that, we will have guests. Things didn't work out for us to get him on. And we were going to have Xavier beat writer on, who's a nice guy and responded, but he doesn't cover baseball. There's not enough readers in the Cincinnati paper to cover regular season baseball. He only covers it starting in the postseason. So he couldn't help us out with that. But if we wanted to talk Xavier basketball, he was down.
All right. By the way, that I did want to mention to you guys, I should have known this is a very easy name for the Jell-O shot competition. In Omaha, it's Rocco's Pizza and Cantina. It's very close to the stadium, so you can eat there. It looks like I was looking at the menu because I might not be Kyle Baba, but as far as the restaurateur and the guy, that's him. But he actually, it looks like it's a great menu.
Okay. I don't know. I was a restaurateur. But I'll take your word on it. I'm not going to bother looking at the menu until we get closer to, you know, maybe actually going. But you made me lose my train of thought, Dave. I had something I was going to say, and you messed me up with the restaurateur thing. What in the world was I going to say? It was related to Pirate baseball. Maybe it'll come back to me. Somebody else take it.
I mean, don't you think Kyle would make a lot of money, like, opening up in a restaurant?
I just think if you enter the Jell-O shooter contest, you should at least get a free T-shirt.
If you enter it?
Yeah, if you enter it, you should at least get a free T-shirt. I mean, my goodness.
Just for entering it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're gonna put your body through that kind of torture, which will be torture after the seventh one.
I mean, Alan, he's taking one for the team, man. He's taking one for the team, doing a whole bunch of Jello shots. And
I don't think Alan meant me literally. I think he meant
just in general.
The royal you should get your
We've all done the Jello shot thing at one time or another, and I've got a story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it's so damn sweet, and you just keep putting it on. Yeah, you make it throw up. Yeah. But I what the hell was I going to say? It's totally gone. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was going to ask Dave a question that I should probably wait off the air to ask, but I'll be unprofessional and ask it on the air. I had thought of the question, and I was going to ask it off the air, but now I'm sitting here trying to think of what I was thinking of. Dave, are we going to have Haymeyer on Sunday night? Do you know if he's available? Have you reached out to him?
Not yet, but we'll...
One of us needs to email Haymeyer and see if he'll be available Sunday night to preview the Campbell game on Tuesday.
Okay, we can do that.
So let me know if you're going to. If not, I will. That's behind the scenes stuff on the air, fellas.
All right, that's called an audible at the line of scrimmage. Omaha. Speaking of Omaha, Omaha.
Well, I thought of it, and I was sitting there thinking, what did I think of? Then I realized it wasn't nothing to say on the air, but I'd already talked about it. So I was like, hell, I'll just go and ask.
No doubt.
I'm sure everybody wants to have Haymeyer on. We wish he was here all the time. Speaking of that, hey, here's a transition. Who's calling the games for the Pirates? Is it going to be the same guy that did it last year?
My understanding.
Yeah. I haven't heard any other names.
Yep. What's his name? He did a pretty good job.
Is it?
He did a good job. Nobody remembers his name, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, you know, like he's not.
Well, I think that had a lot to do with people tuned out. The casual fan tuned out.
Dylan Johnson.
That sounds
Thank
right.
You. That is. It right. is Dylan Johnson. Well.
I think a lot of people tuned out until the postseason, until we started playing good ball again, so he didn't get heard or seen or however you want to say it. People didn't watch or listen to him as much as years past because we struggled so much in the regular season. Yeah. And so they primarily just heard him in the beginning of the year and then at the end during the conference tournament and the NCAA tournament. And but I thought he did a good job. I mean, you know, you're replacing – he's not replacing Corey. Well, we have Scooter. But still, you know, he's new. But I thought he did a good job. And this year, hopefully, he'll have more fun during the regular season.
Yeah, guys, speaking on that, we just passed the third anniversary of losing Jeff Charles.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought we just needed to mention that.
It seems like it's been longer than that.
Yeah, that was February 10th of 2023.
Yeah, I remember texting Alan, and because Alan and I were close to him, and I didn't want to start rumors, but I started getting texts.
Yeah, I did too, Dave. I remember we were probably texting each other also, and I remember I forgot the first person that
it was on a Friday night.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember the first person I heard it from. But I remember, I remember reaching out to different people, and it was so strange, and I remember the person that confirmed it, I won't say on the air, but once they confirmed it, I was like, oh my God, you know. But you're right. Good call on your part by bringing that up, Alan. Yeah, Jeff Charles, absolute legend. Pirate Athletics hasn't been the same in terms of listening to it since he's been gone. I mean, you know, I think God, see, if we had one permanent voice, I could remember their name.
Jim Zoki. But
Zoki does a good job with football. And if Zoki wanted to be the permanent voice for the Pirates, I would be okay with that. Yeah. But, you know, I don't even know who calls basketball. Great. I wish we need that. You know, the coaches show, you got Patrick Johnson doing it, or Igo. We need that voice and that face for Pirate Athletics. And, you know, things didn't go well, you know, with our buddy there who's still, by the way, employed by Duke, but couldn't get employed by
I was going to say that was a question I was going to save to another show, but since you thank you, Kyle, for bringing that up. I was thinking about this it was sometime before the end of last year. So, but I haven't, you know, felt like a reason to ask a question, but you brought it up now. Would you guys, has it been enough time? Would you guys hire Chris Edwards? Cause I like him a lot. I would hire him. I think he's a really good guy.
I think it's not going to happen with John Gilbert here. I think if, you know, eventually there will be a change in administration, and John seems to be in no rush to hire a permanent voice for the Pirates. So if that position is still opened, my first choice then was before mentioned Chris Hamaier. If you can get Hamaier, that's who you get. Chris Edwards was my second choice then, and he would still probably be my second choice now. I think what Chris did was stupid. But, you know, I think the whole situation could have been handled differently. First, on his part, look, we knew he wanted a damn – that's the whole thing, Dave. We knew he wanted a damn graduate on the show, and we thought we were wrong. I remember Bubba and I talking about it and us thinking we were wrong. And how in the hell us doofuses on the Sports Objective knew he wanted a friggin' graduate and the university couldn't figure that out. So a lot of that's on the university when we knew it. Yeah,
they should have.
They should have asked us.
Not only that, but here's my thing. I'm not excusing what happened, the whole thing, but I just felt like for me personally, have him apologize about the situation and move on, and we wouldn't.
Well, you could do a lot of things with it, Dave. You could say he is a pirate. He wants to be a pirate, and we're going to require him to finish his degree. Yep. While he is broadcasting for the Pirates, and even cut his pay until he gets his degree. Don't pay him as much. If it's that important to you, I don't really think it should matter, other than the fact he said he had a degree from East Carolina. But, you know, the stupid thing is he still calls Duke baseball. So
he has women's basketball, a lot of different sports.
So that's the part that's stupid to me. It's like when a kid gets kicked off your team for doing something, and then a month later he signs with another FBS team. It's just like, what's the point? I mean, or you'll kick a kid off the team. You know, it used to happen more now. I guess kids can pretty much do anything and they'll get kicked off the team. But you'll kick a kid off the team for XYZ, and then you'll bring in a son of a bitch a year later who did the same thing. So it's that kind of thing to me. We didn't hire him because he lied on his resume, but then he's still employed by Duke. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense, particularly from an academic side. Much as I love the Pirates, you know, let's be real.
Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. I have nothing against Jim Zocchi. I did want
to
say
– No, it's not about Zocchi. It's just Zocchi only wants to be the football boy.
He has – I know it's a situation where –
Baseball
he does the Panthers, and he calls Winthrop basketball.
Yeah, baseball is such a commitment. 56, I'm 62. You got to travel. You got to be of a certain.
I'm not talking about Zocchi doing baseball.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the job in general, it's quite an undertaking.
Jeff Charles very rarely did baseball.
He would do it after basketball finished.
But you could tell. I don't think he ever loved it. Just listening to him call it.
Yeah, that wasn't his. That wasn't his first love for sure.
No, and you could tell. And I just wish we had a voice in general. And then you know, for baseball, Corey Glory became the voice. Of course, he had the opportunity to move on to Tulane. Can't fault him for that. But you know, just wish we had that guy. Hamaier does do everything, but you know, Campbell is kind of a different animal.
Yeah, well, you have to hire somebody and give them something other than just the play-by-play duties. They have to have a job in the university because most people can't travel, you know, 26, 27, 28 weekends a year just doing baseball. Financially, it just doesn't work. You have to do something else to make a living, and that's the hard part, is finding someone who can do that. You know, because you want to be consistent, and that's a tough undertaking to do that.
Basically. Oh yeah, and far as who we have currently, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, he'd probably be doing baseball regardless if we had a full time play by play guy for basketball and football. in the coaches show, et cetera. But what's his name again?
His name is Dylan Johnson.
Yes, he did a good job last year.
Mm-hmm. He got better as the year went on, and that's what you look for.
Just like the team, he got better. And by the way, guys, one thing I will say, and this is not a dig on the university, I don't like the fact that Playfly doesn't have us on a local channel anymore as far as Inside Pirate Athletics. I think that should be as far as the coaches show. You know, when Blake Harrell now is, we've got it just on YouTube, I think. For me, that's something that they said they didn't, Playfly didn't feel like they could, I guess they felt like they couldn't sell it anymore or whatever. But I think there's a lot of stuff you could have done with that. I still watch it. Maybe I'm one of the only ones that watch it.
I think the old format's dead, but I think you could do it differently. I think you could switch to a documentary. I don't know how easy it would be to turn that around from Saturday to Sunday. But I think if you could do it documentary style, more going in, following the team that way, and then flip it out if you could get that out on TV for Sunday. But the old format, yeah, the old format's dead.
Right, but
I miss the days of the call-in show, but the problem was...
Oh, God, me too.
With the radio call-in show, it was the same five people every week.
Well, the call-in show went away because they didn't want Scotty Montgomery to answer questions from Kyle from LaGrange Barber and the like.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you specifically, but it was the same five or six people.
Yeah, but that's the reason why. They didn't want Scotty to have to answer. Jeff Confer didn't want Scotty to answer questions for people.
They said that was the real reason. Well, there's a lot of shows, unfortunately, that don't do that anymore.
I know now, but they were starting to back then
by they were having you tweet all, like different schools tweet the question.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden we jumped on the bandwagon when we should still keep. That's something that I wish that we would still do, but. I guess I'm a radio nerd or
the call-in shows are one format that they should have stuck with. Absolutely.
And they had major technical issues with the callers and things like that in the last couple of years of taking calls too. It was bad.
Just get Shirley in there. She'll get them straight.
Shirley. We love Shirley.
Yeah. We love Shirley. She is, she's one of a kind. That's for sure.
I love her.
Great job keeping the guys on the fifth quarter calling show straight.
Oh my goodness. I'll never forget 2 or 3 years ago. I've still got the audio somewhere where the guy slipped a word in that he shouldn't have said. I thought her head was going to blow off her shoulders.
It happened this year too. She's got a fast trigger finger to cut them off. Now, I'll tell you what, she let me get away with it one time. I said shit on the air and then immediately said, sorry. And they didn't cut me off.
This guy 2 or 3 years ago used the N word.
It got through.
Yep. Yeah, and boy, I thought for sure that she was going to find out where that guy lived and change his life forever.
They should have repeatedly said, "Well, if he could have lied about where he was from and stuff." But
he didn't say it as derogatory. You'll have to hear it. I know what he meant. You know how kids.
That's a fast.
You know how kids throw that word around. He's my friend. He's my buddy. That's exactly what he did.
Alan, didn't that happen to Kyle Larson? Isn't that pretty much what happened to him?
Yeah, they were doing the iRacing, and that's exactly what they were on there, and he was talking to one of his buddies, and dropped the word, and it was not in a derogatory fashion.
No, and no R, by the way, no R involved in that whatsoever.
I think that's one of those things that God knows we really shouldn't have got on this topic, but yeah, it's just one of those things.
It's dangerous.
I think it's one of those things that if you're white, you really can't identify with someone who is a black person, how it can make them feel. But I think also the context of how you're using it should be taken into consideration.
Yeah, I agree, Kyle.
I hear you, but again, I feel there's a lot of people out there that they use that as an excuse to use that word.
Yeah. Dave, I was going there. I was going there.
I think there was somebody like Kyle Larson, or, you know, if you go back to the thing with
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, no. No, God, no.
I know. No. I was saying.
No, he used it completely written that way.
I know.
I was the crappy country singer. Morgan Wallen.
I like Morgan Wallen.
You would. Morgan Wallen, yeah, when he used it again, it was, he was drunk, and he was talking about his buddy. He said, take care of my, you know.
Yeah.
And again, that's just, he was drunk, not thinking, just said it in a joking way, meant no harm by it. Yeah. And I think he's been forgiven.
The bottom line is, if you're going to eliminate that word, and it should be eliminated in every form of society, music, movies, whatever. It should go.
That's not happening, Alan. Well, but you know, I was going the same place, Alan. I think that just could be, to use common sense, don't say it.
Well,
don't say it. I don't care the context.
I agree with you JR.
I was going to finish up.
Finish your thought.
Go ahead. I was going to say Kyle Larson. However, I was adamantly against him being suspended. For anybody that doesn't know who Kyle Larson was or is, he's a NASCAR driver, the number 5 Hendrick Motorsports car. And he was suspended. And we have one black driver, and he said, I think he should be suspended. So that probably carried some weight. But Kyle himself is Asian. So I thought that he should have got a little bit of a break. But he learned his lesson. They readmitted him.
Explain that, JR.
They reinstated him, Kyle, and he won the freaking championship last season.
Explain how him being Asian.
Because he's been a victim of, he's heard stuff too, and he rolls with it, but I think that everybody knew. Okay, that's an excellent question, actually, because my defense of Kyle Larson really wouldn't hold up in a court of law. I guess the better way of saying it is, in that case, you know, he shouldn't have said it, but everybody knew. Nobody was offended. Everybody knew the context, and everybody knew that Kyle Larson was not a racist in any way, shape, or form. But just keep it safe and don't use the word.
I think it's probably – it's just best not to use the word, period, because of you can mean it absolutely no harm, but it's been – we've become so PC with that kind of stuff that you can't get away with it even if you mean it with no harm. So the best way is not to use it. Although I disagree completely. I think from a philosophy standpoint, I think if you take words away, don't use them, you give words power. And I think giving words power is dangerous. And so I think you take power away from words by making them meaningless. And you make that word just as meaningless as the word schmooky, which is just something I made up. And I think, I think you shouldn't give words power. But words are powerful.
Yes.
But I think when used, I think when you give a word that it has so much power when used in any context, you've given the word too much power. Now the word is that words shouldn't have power. The power should come from the people that are using them.
Right? Kyle, your explanation would be great in a perfect world, but we don't live in a perfect world. I agree with you. That's the way it should be, but people would take advantage of that.
Here's the deal with Kyle Larson. The reason Kyle Larson was allowed to race again is because the guy is a very good race driver, and that's what it comes down to. It comes down to the bottom line with money. If he were an average or below average driver, the guy would not have a seat in a car anymore. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to money.
Well, I'm going to chance it and see what happens. JR, you're a honky.
Man.
What? There you go.
Let's please move on. I'm sweating like Elvis in his life.
Yeah. We'll move on.
How are we going to transition out of this?
Yeah, by the way, Alan, speaking of which, you're the Elvis aficionado. When is that great movie coming out? It's a couple weeks.
Boy, speaking of Elvis, I mentioned him today.
A week from today.
Ooh, I got a question about Elvis. You want to talk about something that could be offensive to some people. Let's see how many people I can offend with this one. This is a serious question. I'm not even going to ask it.
No, go ahead. If it concerns Elvis, you got to ask it. Go ahead.
It's going to piss you off, Alan.
Well, it won't be the first time, and it won't be the last.
I'm not going to go there because I'll ask you off the air. It is not because I don't want to ask you about Elvis. I don't want to bring this topic up on the air because it shouldn't be political, but it is.
Okay. I think it is.
Yeah, I just – based on how old Elvis's wife was when he met her, and yeah, I'll ask the question off the air.
Okay, I got it.
There was 10 years difference in their ages.
That's okay. I mean, do you have a daughter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do.
Okay. If she was, how old is your daughter now?
My daughter's 21.
Okay. 21 years old. All right.
22.
So when she was 14, if she wanted to date a guy that was 24, that I wouldn't even say it was a rock star, just 24, what would you have said?
I probably would have had a problem with it, though. Priscilla's parents, it's a long story. I'm not defending Elvis on this one, but it was a different time, a different place, a different circumstance. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it was just different in 1959 or 60.
There's a comedian. It's hysterical. He's here's my impersonation of a 50s rock star. And he starts singing this song called "I'm Gonna Marry That Girl 13 Years Old."
Isn't yeah. It? Now Jerry. Now Jerry Lee had a 13-year-old cousin.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mark, can we the Big Bopper. If you look, if you ever listen to the lyrics of the Chantilly Lace, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah. Well, think about Kiss, Christine 16.
Yeah.
I mean, whoa.
Well.
Okay. Moving along.
16 is actually legal.
Yeah. In some states.
It is in North Carolina.
Oh, man.
It is.
I'm getting texts from the lawyers, and they said we're probably not going to make it.
I can see the beads of sweat on your forehead there, Dave.
Oh, yeah. I'm simply stating a law. I'm not condoning anything, but 16 is the legal age of consent in North Carolina unless you're in a position of power.
All right. Well,
okay. Well,
let's move.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
In a future show, can we revisit Elvis Presley and talk, you know, about Elvis for a good 20 or 25 minutes?
Sure.
That'd be an amazing topic.
I'd love to do that.
As a matter of fact, we are going to Memphis this year. I don't know the date, but if the date works right, that's a away game I would love to go to.
Yeah. If you've never been to Graceland, whether you're an Elvis fan or not, it's something that you need to do.
It is in a horrible part of the city, though.
It is. It's in a rundown, and it basically, Elvis moved when Elvis moved out there. There was nothing there, and all that's kind of moved in around the area. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, what's the name of the film, Island? Do they have us like a concert?
It's called the Epic Elvis Concert. It's footage that was found for rehearsals and things going into an engagement in 1970 and 71.
I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be great.
Yeah, we're going Thursday night. You want to go with us?
Next Thursday.
We're coming a week from tonight.
Yeah, we're going to be at a concert. So.
Oh, well, who are you going to see?
Blackberry Smoke.
How about this?
Is that the Blackberry Smoke concert?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, well. You and I will go at any date you want to go, Dave. We'll go.
All right, sounds good. How about this, Morgan Wallen for the halftime show next year?
Just to piss Kyle off.
That would be great. Kyle is going to watch the halftime show.
No, he would not. No, I wouldn't.
I think that's Peyton Manning influence right there.
Yeah, I would rather have a colonoscopy with no propofol.
No, you wouldn't. I've had a sigmoidoscopy. No, you wouldn't. Yeah, they're not fun.
No propofol.
You don't get sedated for a sigmoidoscopy. They go halfway up, and you don't get sedated. And
okay, It is painful.
Speaking of painful. Hey.
You know what? I'm gonna actually transition to something serious from that. We lost.
Vanderbeek
from Dawson's Creek. James Vanderbeek, 48 years old. Colon cancer, stage 3. What I had, and we lost him. And he and I'm telling you right now, I know the age is supposed to be 45. That's what they recommend now. It was 50. Now it's 45. It should be 35. Colon cancer is now the number one killer of all cancers for people under the age of 50. 25 years ago, nobody under the age of 50 hardly got it. Now it is the number one killer of all cancers in America for people under the age of 50. So I beg you, if you're 40 or older, go get a colonoscopy. If you're 35 or older and you have a family history of colon cancer, or you just, your bowels aren't regular, go to get a colonoscopy. Look, you colonoscopies are painless. The worst part is the prep.
Yep.
It ain't no big deal. All you're going to do is take a nap with the propofol, like Michael Jackson, only you'll wake up. And if they find polyps in you, they're going to remove them. They're going to biopsy them. And you're going to find out, you know, if they're precancerous. And if they are, you know what that means is you just saved your ass. Literally and figuratively. And something that could turn into cancer and kill you, you can get cut out of you. And, you know, nothing. Colon cancer is almost 100% preventable with routine colonoscopies. And if, you know, our fine folks in the medical field, I'm not talking about local doctors, I'm talking about people with suggestive things, would lower that age to 35 where insurance would pay for it for routine, we could prevent a lot of this. And people got to quit being scared to get them. And don't ignore your bowel habit changes, man. If you, and I'm talking about this all because of the loss of James Vanderbeek, but if you notice, you know, you're rotating, constipation, diarrhea, if your stools change a lot in size, obvious, you know, if you see blood, but, you know, let's hope that, you know, you don't go to that point, but go get a colonoscopy.
I got to get mine, it's due in July. So thank you, Kyle, for reminding me of that.
Yeah, go get it.
Kyle, you're right. The prep is the worst part. Everything else is a breeze.
Yeah. I've had since 2022, I've probably had a day. Cause in 22, I had counting the sigmoidoscopy, I had three of them. And then I've had one a year ever since. So I've had six, I guess, since 22. So yeah, the prep's the worst. And then the colonoscopy itself ain't nothing, man. You just take a nap.
Yep. You wake up and like nothing ever happened.
Yep. Exactly.
Sure. It is very easy compared to the alternative. So, guys, do you have anything before we get out of here? I know we've been talking a lot, but Alan, what are you doing for Valentine's Day? Putting you on the spot. Can you tell us on the air?
Yes, I'll tell you what we're doing. Our friend and your friend and mine, Nikki Harris.
Yeah, I'll be there.
A Valentine's get together. I don't know if you're going or not, Dave, but nice. we're gonna go and have a good time, and that's what we're doing.
Alan, Jessica, and Johnny and Lisa.
Yeah.
Me and Johnny are getting together.
I was unaware of that. I better inform Lisa.
It's gonna be a big time, Johnny. Now I don't know. We have no plans. I actually was invited to do something during the day down in New Bern. They're having a Mardi Gras parade and stuff, and I need to mention that to Jessica to see if she wants to go.
Do not give her any what we talked about before.
Let's not talk about that on the air. We may end up doing that if she's interested. But far as Saturday night, probably dinner somewhere. We'll probably wherever she wants to go for dinner, somewhere in between Greenville and New Bern, Goldsboro. I'll go as far as Raleigh, but wherever she wants to go for dinner, that'll be our big plans for Saturday night.
No doubt. So we'll definitely have fun. I'll be there with you, Alan. So
looking forward to seeing you, man. There's going to be the wife normally doesn't go, but she's going to go this time. And some
Jamie's friends. Going.
Yeah, Jamie's going.
Let me write this.
Some friends of mine that have never been to one of Nikki's gatherings is going, so it'll be a good time. Kyle, you'd have a good time.
Yeah, you need, and Johnny.
It's basically sitting around playing guitar, singing songs, you know, whatever you want to drink.
Alan's
you know,
the host.
I host it.
Did you kick that one idiot out there, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I sure did.
Good.
I'm sweating. I tell you, this is like one of the shortest.
Well, there's nothing just to make you sweat, Dave. If you go back and listen to what we talked about, nobody said anything controversial.
No. I know. I'm talking about that.
That comment. That wasn't us. So. Yeah, that was
nuts. I didn't see it. I have to go back and look at it. I didn't.
Well,
it's for me.
Yeah, just say somebody was proud. But
woo.
But anyway. So anyway, the wrestling.
Yeah, anything right now.
Did Alan? Did somebody say let's talk wrestling?
I did.
I think we just wrap this thing up. I'm joking.
Well, it's the first baseball preview thing. Does anybody? I was gonna just briefly mention. You know, I like to root for everybody else in the conference. I rarely do that, but when they're playing, you know, teams out of conference, I root for them so that, you know, it makes our strength of schedule better. So I was just going to quickly say who everybody was playing this weekend, but
go for it. Yeah.
Okay. The hardest game, UAB has to travel to Florida to take on the Gators, who are licking their wounds after we took them out twice down in Conway, and they don't have their head coach because of the, you know, shenanigans that he pulled with Parker Byrd pregame. So they won't have him for the first three games. So, but other than that, that's a tough opening series for UAB. Some of the easier ones: Wichita State is playing Northern Colorado out of the Summit. UTSA has got South Dakota State at home. They're also out of the Summit. Those should be easy games, I would think. South Florida has got Illinois. They're from the Big Ten, but the Big Ten in baseball is
not good,
mediocre. And Illinois is at the bottom. So that USF, that's a good first series for them. Tulane's the only other team other than UAB that has to travel. They're going to Loyola Marymount. Loyola Marymount's not that good. So Tulane.
Where are they located?
That's in California. Okay. I want to say it's on the coast of California.
Okay.
Yeah, the only reason I know that Loyola Marymount is Hank Gathers.
Hank Gathers. And then Bo, what was the guy?
Kimble.
Bo Kimble. Yeah. Okay. So then the rest of the schedule is, I'll briefly go. Florida Atlantic, they're at home against Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is probably mid-pack of the ACC. So that'll be a tough one. Charlotte has a relatively easy series. They get San Diego out of the West Coast Conference. Although San Diego is supposed to be much better this season.
They've had their moments.
And then Rice is hosting Northwestern, another Big Ten team that's not, you know, very good. Memphis is hosting Toledo. So Toledo might be able to visit Graceland while they're down there and and at least get that going. And I think I covered them all. Yeah, that's
sounds like it.
Loyola Marymount is in Los Angeles, by the way.
Okay. I've heard of that. I've heard of Los Angeles.
Have y'all been watching the Olympics before?
No.
Are the Olympics going on?
No.
Well,
I'm being serious. We have Winter Olympics this year.
Yeah.
All right. I am serious as a heart attack.
Well, Lindsey Vonn, you haven't been keeping up with Lindsey Vonn?
I haven't. I didn't. Are y'all being serious? The Winter Olympics are going on?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
This has been the least publicized Winter Olympics I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, Lindsey Vonn.
I couldn't agree more, Kyle. I don't even know where they're taking place. Is it somewhere with a ridiculous time?
It's in Italy.
Difference? It's in
Italy. Okay. When did it start?
About 8 days ago? Something like that.
Oh, what is NBC carrying it?
Yep, NBC and the NBC family of networks, Peacock.
I had no idea the Olympics were going on. Not a freaking
We're trying to
clue.
Keep it quiet, Kyle.
Apparently. No, I'm serious. Most of the time, you know, the Olympics get hyped up. You know, it's the opening ceremonies. You know, I can't believe, like,
okay, yep, honestly,
Alan, carry the torch somewhere. That's far for the course.
I agree, Kyle. I never saw an opening ceremony. I never saw any like promos for it. The only reason I even know is because
last Friday night
I was watching the news and they were talking about medal winners and what they had to say in their, you know, acceptance of their medals. that was controversial. That's the only reason I even knew that there was a Winter Olympics.
There is something. Do you have Peacock, a disconnect, huh?
Do you have Peacock?
I do. Yeah. There is a
homepage of Peacock, like.
Well, for, I don't get on Peacock hardly any since WWE isn't up there anymore. I never get on Peacock.
But two controversies have been Lindsey Vonn, who broke her leg downhill skiing, and then one of our athletes had some things to say that have been fairly controversial. Those have been the two big stories. So
that's insane. I'm just going to go back to real fast, and then we'll close this thing out, or y'all can keep talking if you want to. But I think it really goes to show in this day, and I am a very much a social media consumer. I'm on Facebook, I'm on TikTok. And if something is not part of your algorithm, and I don't know why, me being a sports guy, they wouldn't think I would have, they meaning the algorithm, wouldn't think I would have interest in the Olympics, but nothing has come up on my Facebook feed. Nothing has come up in my TikTok. I'm not a big Twitter guy or X guy. I get on there for our social media and put stuff out, but I don't read X very much. I had no idea the Olympics was going on. And growing up as a kid, I used to love the luge. I would get so freaking excited to watch the luge when I was a kid.
No doubt. It's been the opening ceremonies were great. The United States is doing very well. In fact, the women's hockey team beat Canada like 5-0 a couple of nights ago. Lindsay, if you get a chance, Kyle, you have to see the injury for Lindsey Vonn because
I'm sorry, I missed
who the hell is Lindsey Vonn? Yeah, thank you.
Lindsey Vonn's a downhill, a very prolific downhill skier for the U.S. and she recently had an injury. Well, she recently had an injury where she had to have this was very recently. She had some cartilage in her knee. What was it, an ACL?
She tore her ACL, and then she attempted to continue to ski.
I mean, what is that? That's a warrior, man. That is someone.
And then she fell and broke her leg.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that you can try that. Has anybody really paid attention to what a downhill run looks like? I think you need two good knees to do that, and then you're still going to need a lot of luck.
Yeah, so, not the Olympics, guys. Before we go, in a few minutes, there's going to be a documentary on FS1 called "The Day We've Lost Dale Earnhardt."
I'll be watching.
The 25th anniversary of losing Dale Earnhardt.
I'll definitely be tuning in
here in a few days. So that's coming up in a few minutes on FS1.
Thank you.
Is Lindsey Vonn related to David Vonn?
No, she was married to Tiger Woods, though, wasn't she? Or was she just dating him?
No.
But she's not related to David.
Is that a different person altogether?
That's a different Lindsay. I don't think she was married to Tiger.
But just to be clear, she's not related to David Vonn.
No, they don't spell their names the same way. It's a different
story. All right. I don't know if y'all even knew who I was talking about.
Yes, from East Coast Grading. Yeah.
Yes.
Pirate Radio.
Yes.
V-O-N-N.
Yeah.
And he spells his name V-A-U-G-H-N.
Yeah, okay. It was Vonn, and she's Vonn, Lindsey Vonn.
Oh, well, it sounds
Vonn.
Yeah, Vonn.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, somebody mark this down on a calendar because I'm actually right, and Alan is always right. If we disagree, Alan's always right, but they did date in 2012.
Yeah. We said they didn't marry. They did date. We were talking about getting married. She wasn't married to him. She dated him.
No, I know. I said, or girlfriend. And then I thought, okay, I'm sorry, Alan. I thought you said, no, that's a different Lindsay.
That is what you said.
Yeah, I did. I did not realize they dated. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they did.
I did not realize.
Hey, when it comes to pop culture, I'm the guy that's least in the know. So, I every now and then, I surprise myself.
Yeah, she's not the guy. She's not the girl that took the club to him, though.
That was the wife.
That was the wife.
L.
Yes.
What's her name? All right. So well, good luck to the Pirates. And those of you that are in the jungle will make do for a year. And I can't wait for the stadium. That's going to be awesome. The indoor practice. Yeah, anyway. Hey, before we get out of here?
Huh?
Well, I did see a picture of all of the outfield padding in a dumpster, well, in three dumpsters, actually. So I guess they're replacing all of the padding for the entire stadium. So I don't know if it's going to have the same advertising on it or advertising on it.
There, or
if
you didn't go dumpster diving and try to find it?
I would. You know what? It's already, they already got rid of it. I would have done that, Kyle. I was in Virginia when I realized it.
Kyle's going to jump over the left field wall.
I can do it. Hey,
that's the only way. That's the only way to get to the jungle.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I'm interested to see what the outfield wall looks like.
It's going to have a picture of you on it.
That'd be awesome.
In left field, yeah.
It's like Johnny Stats right there with a big picture of you on it.
Oh, man. All right, guys. We'll get out of here. Thank you guys so much. Good luck to the Pirates. We'll be back on Sunday night, our debut episode of Extra Innings. So we'll be doing that pretty soon.
And we'll have good news. We'll have good news to share with everybody.
Guest Sunday night.
And I'll be here on time next time, I promise.
Yeah, we'll have a very special guest. If we can't,
Alan, what if
Meyer, we'll just make somebody up.
What if the Daytona 500's in a rain delay and then we get overtime or something?
Oh, I'm going to be here for this. And
okay. I like that. I like that commitment. Okay.
I'll be here.
All right.
And my prediction for the Daytona 500 is lake speed for the win.
Hey, John,
number nine,
Hut Strickland forever, baby.
Hey, you're gonna. I told Dave, I'm gonna present you with that on Saturday.
I really appreciate
124, the 164. We're gonna take a picture together, and send it to Hut.
Yeah, we'll send it to Hut. That'll be cool.
And you gotta make sure that you do that. Nikki's. We can have a video and everything, and we can put it on our Facebook.
Yeah, okay. Hut's in Orange Beach, Alabama. That's where he's
awesome. Living. And Lake Speed was right next door in Mississippi. And he drove the spam car, Kyle.
Yes, I know.
Lake Speed was a world go-karting champion.
There you go.
You know, all those guys at that level are a champion at something at one time of their life.
I am a lawnmower champion, but nobody.
A push mower.
Yeah, push mower champion.
Joe Nemechek.
Joe won some races. He won
front row Joe.
Kyle knows more than we think.
I used to watch NASCAR all the time in the 80s and 90s. I just don't give a crap about it anymore. I was a huge NASCAR fan in the 90s.
I was a Sterling Marlin guy.
Were you one of those that thought NASCAR died when Earnhardt died?
No, I was a Kyle Petty fan. Oddly enough, I met Kyle Petty when I was a kid, he had the same name as me, and I met him in 86 or 87. And since he had the same name as me, he was my driver, and I stayed with him, even through all the rotten years from peak performance antifreeze to mellow yellow.
Last win for Kyle was Dover, 1995.
Yep, I remember it well.
June 4th, 1995.
Came really close to winning Dover again, and then also came really close to winning Watkins Glen one time.
Yeah, we used to go to Rockingham every year, and he dominated for about 3 years.
It wasn't when Earnhardt died. I actually became a Dale Jr. fan after that just because the whole situation. And it's been in the last, I'd say since 05, 06, 07, that era. That I really lost interest in it. It's just not, the drivers don't have personalities. There's no south to it. And I'm glad NASCAR is getting back to its roots in terms of the tracks, the return to North Wilkesboro, doing the return to Rockingham for the Truck Series and the Busch Series, doing the Clash in Winston-Salem. But the problem is, there, and I don't know where you'd find these boys at unless you just run around to Eastern North Carolina and South Georgia and some of these small tracks and got some of those. We need to appeal to the kind of fans. You got to appeal to your diehard fan base.
The win on Sunday by the manufacturer on Monday, days are gone, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. Everybody used to be a Chevrolet guy or a Ford guy.
I disagree, dude. I'm telling you, I didn't give a damn about that kind of stuff. As a diehard casual, if that makes sense, to me it was all about the personalities. It was like wrestling. There's no Dale Earnhardt. There's no Rusty Wallace. There's no Texas. You know the Intimidator, Texas Terry Labonte. You know, you had these guys that were larger than life personalities with these accents and these, you know, Richard Petty with the cowboy hat and sunglasses. And now you just got generic white boy over here. I was great here driving the Wells Fargo Chevrolet. And we had a really good day. Just shut up, dude. Nobody wants to hear you. You sound just like the other guy that was just talking.
Okay, well, I have to introduce you to Ross Chastain, driver of the number one Chevrolet for Trackhouse.
Where's he from?
He's from Florida.
Chase Elliott's from.
He doesn't have the accent though. Chase Elliott, number nine, is my guy now. He's got a little bit of. But you're right, Kyle. I'm trying to think who has a big personality. I'm trying to think now.
They all are generic little.
Chastain's about as unusual as anybody. He's got a really. I've interviewed Ross three or four times.
I'm telling you right now, if you put me as the CEO of NASCAR, I'm going around the little dirt tracks throughout the. I'm finding some redneck boys going to the Midwest and finding some nasal little assholes like Rusty Wallace. I'm getting some personality. I don't even care if they can drive. In fact, maybe driving worse would make it more fun to watch. We're gonna carny this thing up.
All right,
Dave, you ready to go? You mean you're ready to go?
Yeah,
I mean,
well, since when are you ready to go? You're normally the one who wants to go all night.
How about Austin Dillon? Kind of guy. Alan, Austin Dillon. He's just not really a factor anymore, but he's got a – and Kyle Busch still has a personality.
Well,
and
Kyle won the poll.
Yeah, but not a very good one.
Yeah, Kyle won the poll for this year's 500, so that was pretty cool.
Quickly, and then we really will wrap it up. I did want to get everybody's take on this because everybody keeps talking about it, and I think it'll be fun to hear people argue about it because I hated both. Just quickly, without getting political with it at all, just from a performance standpoint, did you prefer Misbehaving Rabbit or did you prefer Old Man Rock?
For me, it was none of the above.
Me too.
I'm going to leave it at this. Has anybody gone back and translated the lyrics that Bad Bunny?
Yes, everybody in the world has.
I'll leave it there.
And some of that is accurate, some of it's not. Some of that was the lyrics in the actual song. If you heard it, the recorded version, and he cleaned the lyrics up some for TV, but there was still a lot of profane lyrics in Spanish. I don't care about that. I thought both performances. Kid Rock ain't had a good song in 20 years. Misbehaving Rabbit, I couldn't care less. They both suck. And then the pandering ass song by Lee Bryce. And Lee Bryce has some good music, but that is the most pandering song. It's tough being country in this country. I just want to drive my truck and drink my beer and catch my fish and mow my. Well, who the hell's stopping you from doing that?
That's about 80% of today's country music anyway.
Today's country music on the radio, good sir.
Yeah.
There's Cody Jinks, Ward Davis, Paul Coffin, et cetera, et cetera, are freaking amazing, but they don't get played on the radio.
Yep. I agree. Thank goodness for YouTube and things like that.
Spotify, you know, Pandora.
I love Zach Top.
Well, he gets played on the radio. He's one of the few decent people that plays on radio. But he doesn't have that unique Texas independent sound. He has a very 90s country sound, and ain't nothing wrong with that. If that's what we want to go back to for mainstream country, I'd be great with that.
All right.
All right.
Good luck to the Pirates, and we'll be back Sunday night at 8. Appreciate everybody very much, and we made it through the show. we still got a show. We're not going to be canceled. So that's great. So
well, you don't know about that.
We might. I've got a few texts here. We got a meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., guys.
That sounds right.
I'll have to do a Zoom. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. You guys have fun. Good luck to the Pirates against Xavier. And obviously the Friday game of the doubleheader on Saturday. And we'll probably have a rainy Sunday night in Pirate Nation, but we'll have a great time. And I know we're going to be talking about success and a lot of wins. So we'll do that on Sunday night at 8, our first episode for season 2026 of Extra Innings. Until next time, we'll see you then. Go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.